Okay, so we're thinking about small things that can control bigger things. And this takes us on to the part of the Bible that we're looking at today, in which we're looking at how one very small part of our body can control and can drive where we're going and what we're doing, and can make quite a big difference to the impact that we might make in our lives. So we're just going to have a look at this reading now. It's from James 3, verses 1 to 6. And it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider that a great forest fire is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell."
Who can touch their nose with their tongue? And the average size of the tongue is about 10 centimetres long. That's the length, generally, from your big finger down to the base of your hand. That's the average size. That's massive, and we don't get that impression when we stick our tongue out. 16,000 words is the average number that we say in a day. That's about 16.5 words per minute. Double that for women. And the point about the tongue is that it has a big impact. So just like with the Mexican wave at the beginning, a small person can create a massive ripple effect across a sports stadium, across Central Baptist Church's congregation. And we're going to be looking into exactly what that is. Now, is my clicker working? That's the question. Yes, here we are. Now, I've got a challenge, and this is a challenge for me as well. Are all my words honouring Christ? That's the first challenge. We're, a lot of us here in this room, most of us are Christians. Some of us may be discovering Christianity. But the challenge to me personally is, do my words honour Christ? No. No, some of the time my words do not honour Christ, and I'm standing here, you know, saying that because I know sometimes my words tear down people and sometimes they build people up, and I'm guilty for that. And I'm sure all of us can think of a time when, of course, our words unfortunately destroy relationships or maybe even momentarily cause people to be offended. So our challenge is, how can we change our texts, our tweets, our physical words so that they do honour Christ? Just like in the Bible, in the book of James, there's a lot of potential in something so small. That's our tongue. And it has the ability, beyond its size, to tear down and to build up. If you know me quite well, I'm a little bit outspoken sometimes. Sometimes I say things and I don't think first. Sometimes I've offended people in my writing and in my words. And there's an opportunity there as well for me to humble myself and to say sorry to people and to say sorry to Jesus Christ in my confession time. I remember a wise older man once saying to me, "Richard, it's better to keep your mouth shut and have people think you a fool than open it and remove all shadow of a doubt." Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Okay, the power of the tongue, it has the ability to encourage people, to discourage people. We can love people with our tongue, with the words we write on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, at meetings, one-to-one, with our family members, with strangers on the street. One president's tweet has the ability to cause calamity as opposed to peace in different areas around the world. A referendum result has the ability to cause calamity or maybe calmness, depending on your point of view on the referendum result. So our words have such a massive impact. My question, and this is a challenge to me as well, how do I talk to others? How do I talk to myself? Now that's an interesting one, because our own self-talk, what we feed ourselves when we wake up in the morning, is also about our own self-talk, and it has an impact on our own psyche. And finally, how do I talk to God? Do I curse God? Oh my God! Say that and not mean it? Or am I actually saying, oh my God, I'm praying to you? Do I write on Twitter, OMG, and not worry about what that means? Not even considering whether OMG is a curse or whether I actually mean, oh my God, where are you in this situation? So this is a little challenge for some of us. Looking at another part of the Bible, in Matthew 15, we have this passage here that Gavin is going to read to us.
Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person.
This is from Matthew 15, when Jesus was challenging those who were more worried about washing their hands before eating dinner. And he said, no, wait a minute, it's not about washing your hands as a ritual, but it's more about your heart and what comes out of your heart through your mouth. That's a challenge to me as well. I mean, you know, taming of the tongue, it's so important because, I mean, we know what it feels like to be spoken to with a tongue which is tamed. A tongue which is tamed is not silent. I think it's the opposite. A tongue which is tamed is a tongue which, as I've said before, encourages and loves. And here's some examples of maybe things that we could say which actually are tamed. Thank you for that prayer today. It lifted me up. Can I say, what's a good job you are doing in really helping our customers? What about, that is the best piece of homework you have ever done. Are you busy on Wednesday? Come over for dinner. Thank you, Mum and Dad, for my new bedroom and the new Tottenham emblem that you've painted on my wall. So our words have such a big impact. And do I want people to think good of me or bad of me? And This is the challenge here that Jesus is putting to us if we were to understand the context of these words here. So a person with a truthful tongue, we might think, has a honest heart. Or perhaps a person with a self-controlled tongue may have a righteous heart. You know, if you are encouraging people, perhaps it reveals the fact that you have a happy heart. And the opposite is true as well. If you've got a filthy tongue, maybe you have an impure heart. If you gossip, perhaps an unforgiving heart. If you have a cruel tongue, do you have a vengeful heart? I think this is a challenge to me as well as all of us here. Because careless words do not build people up. Careless words do exactly the opposite. We lie, sometimes, as weak human beings, we don't tell the truth. And we can ruin parts of relationships. We can, without meaning it, offend people. And just like we were reading in James, the tongue has the power. Just like a horse can be controlled by You know, the reins that you put around a horse to control the direction the horse goes in. Or what about, as Sarah said, a small pill has the impact to make us feel better. A baby has the impact to cause people to run to him or her when the baby cries. And equally, on this negative side, I think that's maybe a representation of sometimes what our words can have when we don't use them wisely. And of course, our words display our key values. You know, if we were to consider our words online, we live in a digital age of cyber communication. And just like with this toothpaste tube here, if you squeeze your toothpaste out in the morning and you've got too much on your toothbrush, you can't put it back in. Have you ever tried that? You cannot put toothpaste back into the tube. You have to put it all in your mouth, share it with your mum and dad, save it on the side for tonight when it goes all crusty, or put it down the sink. You know, our words, like, we can't take them back. They're said, they're done, they're out there. And even more so, if we're going to Snapchat them, if we're going to tweet them, if we're going to send them by text message. Because, you know, we can record words now these days. In the book of James, you know, the most they could do with recording words was perhaps to write them on a scroll, on a papyrus, or perhaps by word of mouth. They didn't have Twitter 2,000 years ago. The taming of the tongue. In James 3, if we were to read on, this is what it says.
All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
When I was reflecting on this, one person in the Bible came to mind. One person who used their tongue in a positive way and in a negative way. And comes to mind Peter, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter was one of Jesus Christ's best friends. And even when times got tough, and on the night Jesus was to be betrayed, he said the following to Jesus.
Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you.
And of course, in the next moment, we know that Peter denied Jesus three times. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. He said, I don't know Jesus, never heard of him. No, never heard of Jesus. No, not my best friend. And then, of course, the cock crowed. And Jesus said that this would happen. This was a reminder to Peter that his tongue had said bad things about Jesus. And, of course, we know what happens after that. Jesus meets up with his friend Peter after his resurrection and says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And, of course, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. But Peter, do you actually love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. And Jesus says the same thing again, and Peter's thinking, oh, flipping heck, I've already said it once. Doesn't this guy understand me? And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? For a third time. And Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. Of course, that was a symbol of the three times that Peter had denied Jesus. And I was thinking about this. My thought process continued a little bit more. And I thought, is there any point when I may deny my faith, use my tongue, just like in the book of James, where I may, on a Sunday, praise God in my prayers and in my worship and in my singing of songs and in my fellowship with the church family here. And do I, perhaps the next day, the next week, the next month, do the opposite? And that was a challenge to me when I had that thought. And perhaps sometimes, through conversations, I don't tame my tongue in the sense, have a nice weekend? Yeah, lovely. What did you get up to? Barbecue with family, this, that and the other. All right. Oh, okay. And that, for me, that was a missing opportunity to say, actually, no, it was a birthday last week, 113 years of Central Baptist Church. Oh, what did you do at the weekend? Yeah, I went to the morning service at the church. This guy, he knocked over a Jenga tower. Don't know what that was about. All right, okay, what did you get up to? Wednesday, I went round a friend's house for dinner. All right. In actual fact, I went round a friend's house for dinner and had a Bible study, and we had a really good time, but I'm not going to mention that because, why am I not mentioning that? And this for me, is a reflection on Peter and the way when he was asked about Jesus, and he said, no, I'm not a friend of Jesus. And that was a challenge to me this week when I was reflecting on that passage. The power of the tongue and the need to tame has been known for centuries. And I'm just closing now with a few more words of encouragement. In Psalm, King David prayed the following.
May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
And later on in the Bible, St. Paul, he encouraged the early church with these words.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That is, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
And Jesus also warns us to tame our tongues when he says the following to the Pharisees in the New Testament.
I tell you, on the day of judgment, people give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
So I thought, what is it that maybe Central Baptist Church needs to hear based on James 3? Now, this is not a list which is finished. We could add to this. But I was thinking, how about this week? How about today? How about in the next song we invite the Holy Spirit to guide us again, to guide our words, to guide our thoughts and our deeds? We can do that tomorrow morning before we have breakfast. We can do that before arriving in the office at work. We can do that when we're cycling to school. What about a whinge jar? Every time you have a careless word, you put a pound in it. And you choose what to do with that money afterwards for someone else. What about leaving a post-it for a friend to encourage them? And what about praying for people to change our heart before God? My thing is to think before I speak. That's my challenge, which is why I've put Alan Redpath's little acronym there. Okay, I'd like us to pray now. Let's pray out loud, if you are willing. There's some scripture on the screen here. I'd like us to pray this out loud, if you agree with me, and then I will lead us in a short prayer following that. Let's pray out loud, all together. Lord Jesus, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. And we read from Psalms. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And dear God, Heavenly Father, forgive me when my words bring harm to others and dishonour you. Help me to control my tongue and do not be controlled by it. Help me build others up and praise you, showing my love for you and my neighbour in my words, and let my words be matched by my actions. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.